Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for sticking around on what's left of this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. You'll be in touch with the program. Utilize your texting device. Joining us now on the line, our returning champion. We do this about this time every Friday. State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Ben, I'm doing great. It's great to be back in South Alabama after being in Montgomery some this week again.
Contract review, right?
So, yeah, we had the ARPA Oversight Committee meeting, which is becoming increasingly important as that billion-plus gets spent and the clock winds down on it. And then, yes, contract review as well. So, busy week in Montgomery.
Well, we'll jump back into that, but first we're going to talk congressional districts. And I didn't realize it was going to be this bad, but, wow, they have just really the city of Mobile and the city of Montgomery in a congressional district together. I mean, that's what they've essentially done here.
It really is. When you start thinking about the mayor of Mobile and the mayor of Montgomery living in the same congressional district, that is just really something. And I think that's what you have happen when you have folks that don't fully understand the concept of separation of powers between the branches. And that's what we've got here.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know how this is going to end. I'll say this. I don't think it's a Montgomery-centric district anymore. It really, I mean, bringing in that much of Mobile, that's just a Frankenstein of a situation.
Well, you add that, and you add the three or four Democrats from Jefferson County that want to run for this seat, too, and it gets really interesting really quick. But yeah, it's just a mess. It doesn't make any sense unless you're trying to clearly, not just racially gerrymander, but as the special master said, hey, we want to anticipate what black voters are going to want and draw a district so that what they may want is something that is the outcome. And I shake my head at that logic. It doesn't make any sense. And you have to wonder what the Supreme Court does with this long term. I don't think they're going to be able to leave it like this. And I think that we do this time around, and then 2 years from now, we may have a completely different ruling from the Supreme Court that forces us back into the districts that the legislature actually drew.
Yeah, and you know, there's still been some discussion here that you guys should have gone with Chris Pringle's plan during that special session. But I liken that, and maybe I'm off of my analogy by a little bit here, but that would have been, to me, either taking a knee or kicking a field goal that had no chance, and instead he chose to go with the long ball and throw the Hail Mary, which low percentage play, but I don't know what else you guys could have done.
Well, I agree with that assessment. I mean, look, I don't think that what has been drawn by the special master was something that the Alabama legislature would have passed. And so, you know, your goal in the legislature is always, hey, what can I get the votes for? And I don't think the votes existed for what, you know, this craziness that the district courts come up with. I don't think it existed. And so, you know, the thought was, can we draw this in a way that certainly says, okay, district court and Supreme Court, we're trying to do some of what you're asking us here while looking at other legal standards and come up with something that we can also get passed. I mean, look, the Pringle plan wasn't gonna satisfy these federal judges either. Nothing short of what they've done here would have satisfied them, and that's not something that the Alabama legislature was gonna pass. So here we are. This is what we end up with, and I think Attorney General Marshall is gonna be back at it, trying to see if he can get us an audience before the Supreme Court yet again on this issue, and I hope he's successful.
Well, and I mean, who knows what 2030 looks like, but if nothing changes between now and then, I mean, there's no way the legislature would ever draw this map again. Somebody said that they ran like a million times, how many different variations, and they can only come up with this sort of recipe like a handful of times.
Yeah, the legislature has drawn the maps it's drawing. Those the 2023 maps exist. They haven't gone anywhere. That's Alabama law. Now the courts have said we've got to draw congressional districts differently for this upcoming election. Obviously, that's under appeal to the Supreme Court. but the maps that, that the Alabama legislature drew still exist, and it is my sincere hope that after 2 years of craziness, we're back to what the state legislature passed and what the people of Alabama wanted.
What does this have the impact on things here? And I you know, suddenly Baldwin County is the epicenter of the first congressional district. And I guess that's kind of a neat thing, but it's not exactly, I don't think it's anything exactly to celebrate.
You know, I'd agree with that as well. It's something that, you know, it has happened. It's something that I think Baldwin Countyans look at and go, okay, you know, we got more say in this than we used to. But it's not something that anybody from Baldwin County, at least that I know of, advocated for, right? Wasn't the goal. The goal was to keep, you know, the communities of interest of Mobile and Baldwin together, and make sure that those industries like Airbus and Austell and the port and that, you know, where a lot of my constituents work, right, all stayed in the same district. And you had the competing argument from, you know, from Sam Jones and others that said, oh, no, we have more in common with the Black Belt than we do with Baldwin County. Well, good luck, guys. Y'all about to find out how much you got in common with Montgomery instead of, you know, us folks over here in Baldwin County, because you got what you asked for.
Yeah, it's just outrageous. And to make an argument that, I mean, well, we just erase the part that says keep a community is of interest together, throw that out, because clearly you could count like five different examples if you just look at the entirety of the Alabama map now where they just threw that out the window.
Well, and I think that's where the Supreme Court does weigh back in on this in the near future. They didn't want to do it right before this election, and so the decision, I think, was, okay, leave it like the district court did it, and then we'll go back and hear that appeal in you know, future years. So I think that's something that's coming. It's just not going to be in effect for this cycle.
Yeah, I mean, four different TV markets, this new congressional district in a state like Alabama. I mean, that's just that's insanity. But I'm curious how this will play out in the long run. We're joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Contract review. No movement on the Aldott impasse yet, I assume.
You know, Jeff, I still maintain the completely crazy position that the governor's office ought to actually have a budget for a project that's $1.5 billion or so before they start it. And, you know, the governor's office has been completely unresponsive to my requests that say, hey, can you tell us what this project's worth to you? What's the budget for it? And listen, one of the reasons I'm asking this question is this is a different delivery method, right, than we've used to using. This isn't the design. This is a design build method, not design bid build. We don't have a bid. This is a no bid contract. Okay. And so there's no opportunity to look at it and say, oh, wow, that's what it costs, huh? I mean, you're already in it. You've already started the design. You've already spent $100 million on it. You've already acquired right away. They're going at this the same process they use for prisons, and we know how that worked out. With no budget, just here we go, and we'll find out what it costs, I guess, when it's over with. And I think you and all your listeners would agree that's a really, really crummy, irresponsible way to run state government. And it has ended up costing us, will end up costing us a whole lot more. That combined with the fact that they are not permitting this project using FHWA permitting. I spoke to a group about that this morning that was just flabbergasted about that, which means that while everybody talks about, oh, let's go get some federal money for this, or we'll use federal money if we, you know, if we can get some, well, you're going to have to re-permit the project, and that's assuming that you hadn't started on it, because once you've started on it, you're done. You're excluded from federal permitting, and that is just irresponsible. No other word for it.
Right. And then they would maintain, well, yeah, sure, we can get federal funding, but it's not the same kind of federal – we're talking apples and oranges here, right? That the federal funding that they're referring to, it's not like USDOT grants and what you think of traditionally when you think of matching, et cetera.
there's all kinds of different federal funding we can use on the project. I mean, and yeah, some of it's, you know, DOT or FHWA grants. Some of it comes from the Biden infrastructure plan, the IIJA. Some of it may come from earmarks. But why would you not have the permitting done on the front end if, you know, so you could receive and use and apply some of that federal funding that might be available? Why would you go that step, do that? And the answer is, of course, this governor wants to hurry up and build as much of this road as she can, because she knows that future governors, future legislators are going to look at the irresponsible way that they have proceeded with this, and they're going to pull the plug on it. And that's what I've tried to tell proponents of this project is, guys, the way to get this project done is to make sure you have sustainable funding. Sustainable funding involves federal funding in the capital stack, in the mix that makes up the funding for this. And if you don't have that, then you're going to get a piece of a bypass built, you know, in the less than 3 years, two plus years that this governor has left. And then that's it. And what do you really have to show for it? And I think that's a shame for taxpayers that fund, you know, $100 million worth of engineering and design and then whatever it costs to do, whatever they can get done on the road in a short period of time. And then it's a shame to the folks in West Alabama who will be left with yet another another promise that goes unfulfilled. And that's the thing, is they're holding on to this promise, but it's clearly something that's unsustainable and will be a disappointment.
And you think we're pushing $1.5 billion, because we went from what, 600 million to $1.5 billion. I mean, it's just the same as the prisons.
It is. And if you look at the really just at road construction costs on similar projects across the state, the $1.5 billion number is easy to come up with. What the administration likes to do, Jeff, is say, oh, this is just the construction costs. Well, they leave out the engineering costs. Oh, well, the construction costs are only this. Well, they leave out the CENI, the construction, engineering, and inspection costs, right? They don't factor that in. Oh, this is just the construction cost. They leave out the right-of-way acquisition cost. Oh, you know, this is just they leave out the utility relocation cost. You know, all of these things that make up the cost of this project, they like to kind of carve that off and say, oh, that's a different cost. That doesn't count. Of course it counts. It's all part of this project, and it's easy to understand based on, you know, other projects around the state. This is a $1.5 billion project. But good luck getting a straight answer out of the governor's office on what the budget is, because they don't have one. And if so, they sure aren't willing to say it, because they know it's $1.5 billion.
Senator, I was watching Capital Journal. I think it's Bobby Singleton talking about the prisons and looking at the Escambia County Prison and trying to learn from the mistakes of the Elmore. Is it time to, at least for a little while, abandon that whole construction management model and go back to just bidding it like they always have?
It is certainly worth a look at the delivery method, that model, and to say what went wrong here, because something's gone wrong. Okay, in order to have a close to 100% increase, you know, in cost, something more than just inflation has happened here, and we've got to figure out what that is. You know, I've heard that the governor's office during the prison, you know, funding debate, heard from contractors, hey, you're going to be at the upper end of this range. The probability is you're at the upper end of this range. Again, this governor didn't want to admit that, wanted to sell something less to the legislature, get us to swallow the hook, and then say, uh-oh, I didn't know this was going to happen. And I think some of that has happened here. The question is just, do we fall for it again with the West Alabama corridor? But we're forced to do prisons. We have to do prisons. The contractors, the governor's office, even the legislature are resigned to the fact this is going to cost what it's going to cost. And because of this administration, the manner in which they've decided to proceed with this, we are on the hook to pay whatever. And that's one of the reasons I'm sounding the alarm on West Alabama. Same delivery method, same downside. We're just not being forced by a federal judge to do it.
I mean, the competitive bid laws, and you know, like there's something going on here, because it looks to me, maybe I am just a naive dumbass behind a microphone here, that they just get to pick whoever they want based on and do it in the name of cost savings. And what I think it potentially leads to. It's just it's cronyism. It's you know, the good old boy network being enabled, and we're being sold a bill of goods on the cost effectiveness.
Well, it does offer a lot more flexibility for the executive branch, for the governor and her folks, to pick whoever they want. And it does offer a lot more flexibility for them to make decisions about the contract and specifically the design that may or may not add value or decrease cost. It is more flexible. But one thing you've got to rely on in this delivery method is that this governor, whoever the one person is, and it's usually this governor, is making this decision, is acting in the best interest of the taxpayers. And I'll simply pose that as a question. Do you think with prisons, do you think with the West Alabama corridor and the huge cost increases that we've seen, that this governor is acting in the best interest of the taxpayers? You got to wonder.
No, the answer to that question absolutely is no. It's just get it done. And they're arguing that, well, yeah, I am acting in the best interest, but not from a dollars and cents standpoint. It's a free for all. And I mean, we're not going to be able to do big things. This is going to tie down the state for years to come.
Well, I would agree with you that the opportunity cost for proceeding with this, you know, we're going to do it no matter what the cost is, and, you know, has huge opportunity costs around the entire state. Projects that won't be able to be done because we've maxed out the credit card using this delivery method. And, yes, she may very well get it started, but it is going to be unsustainable, and it is going to leave a state that is in really good financial shape, has seen budget surpluses year over year, has seen record revenues. Somehow or another, the spending, which is where it all, you know, where it all goes awry, the spending is what's going to get us in the end. And not just the spending, the borrowing against future revenues that this administration is embarking on is what's really, really going to leave us paying for these types of decisions for decades to come.
You're just a herd of turtles. That's all you are. You're just a naysaying herd of turtles, I guess. Senator, we got to leave it there. We always appreciate your time, and we will talk again next week.
Thanks for having me. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you. State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.